We're going to be in Romans 16 in just a moment. Romans 16. And family is something that means a lot to me. And I've never known how to be able to express it in words that are adequate. But since I've been a Christian, the best thing that's happened in my life is being a Christian. And it's put me into contact with all kinds of people that have changed my life. And the hardest thing I've had to do since becoming a Christian is say goodbye. And we're promised a place one day where we won't ever have to do that. But as long as we live in this life, because people move and because people pass away, this is part of the reality of living here. And so for my final lesson here, I just want to give some personal words of encouragement, and you'll see what I'll do in this lesson. This is not going to be a good sermon. But in Romans 16, when the letters were received in the New Testament times, we talked about this before, but they would have been read audibly out loud. And that, I think, should affect the way that we hear the letters and the way that we study the letters. Because when somebody gets up in the pulpit, I've always tried to be more conversational. I've always tried to name people and share stories about my own life. The way that you read the letters of the New Testament, there's a lot of personal things that Paul will share, which would have been read audibly. There's people that are named, and that would have been audible to everybody in the congregation. I want you to see an example of that. Look at Romans 16, verses 1 and 2, and imagine this being read out loud. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. I don't know who Phoebe is. I know that she seems to be somebody that did a lot of good deeds. My guess is she was actually the one that was carrying the letter to the church at Rome. And then he says these things about her that the whole church would have heard. Look at verses 3 and 4. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Imagine Priscilla and Aquila, this married couple, a family, and they're in the auditorium as this is being read out loud, and everybody starts thinking, yeah, I've had a lot of interactions with those people. Those people have encouraged me. Skip down to verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. When I think about the Apostle Paul, I think of somebody who had strength. He was obviously a man of character, but the kind of guy that wouldn't need a motherly figure. But Paul needed a motherly figure, and it was Rufus's mother. And I imagine that when that was read out loud, people would have thought, yeah, Rufus's mother is a wonderful woman. And she's helped so many of us. That's the kind of thing that we see in the Bible, is things like that, especially so in the book of Romans for all kinds of other reasons as well. But what I want to do for part of this lesson is just talk about people here that have really encouraged me and blessed me. And I need to start with the elders. If it wasn't for Dave Costas, I wouldn't be here. I'm convinced of that. Because whenever I was trying to figure out where I wanted to move, I was just sure that we were going to Colorado. And then Dave called me, and he said, please don't make a decision until you at least come and visit us. And I decided, and I said, okay, I'll do that. But in my mind, I was thinking I'm probably not going to come here until I met all of you. But it was Dave and his persistence that caused me to even think about coming out here. And I'm thankful for the support that the elders have given me while I've been here. I'm thankful to Lisa Adams. When we first came out here, we drove out here from Arizona on a Sunday night. And we got here really late on a Sunday night. And we went to Rubio's. That was the first place we went, because Samantha had to try it right before they closed. But that Thursday, a few days after that, we had a Bible study at a Starbucks. And there was a man named Dominic that some of you had met. He never ended up visiting here. But Lisa was the first person, I think on that first Wednesday night that we were here, that came to me and said, if you ever need any help with evangelistic studies, I'm here to help. And she was at, I think, that first study even, if not the second one. And for the 4 years that we've been here, every Thursday night, we've been having these studies with evangelistic opportunities. And Lisa, whenever she could be there, was there and contributed very valuable things to the work that we were doing in that way. The new people that have come here, the Martins, the Braggins, the Navy people. I wish that I would have more time with you guys. I love you guys. I appreciate the ways that your kids have played with my kids. And you guys have all been very encouraging and comforting to me in lots of ways. Gabriel, and you also have to think about Elizabeth. But during one of those Thursday night studies that Lisa would come to, the Rasmussens would come to, the Lorenzes would come to, I remember that time when Gabriel was there, and I think it was Elizabeth had invited some friends or something like that. Maybe it was Christine. I think it was Elizabeth. And we were talking about 1 Peter chapter 3, and that was one of the passages that talked about baptism. And these visitors over here were trying to argue and fight against what it was saying. And then Gabriel just quietly was listening the whole time and raised his hand, and he said, could I get baptized? The same Bible study. Radically different responses to those, but since Gabriel became a Christian, he's been one of my best friends. The times that I felt lonely, the times that we could talk on the phone or get together at a coffee shop, and him just being a friend to me, which is something I needed really bad. I love Gabriel, and I'm so thankful to God that he put him into my life. And then after that, Elizabeth, who was a little more stubborn than Gabriel. We studied for a year and a half. And I'm thankful for those questions that she had about the Bible. She always wanted to see things proven from the Bible. Show me what the Bible says about that. I'm not going to listen to you unless you can see it from the Bible. And I continually told her that. If I can't prove it from the Bible, don't listen to what I'm saying. And then just a couple months ago, she was baptized and continues to influence people. This last week, we studied with one of her friends, and we're going to tomorrow as well. And I'm thankful to God for how she's already trying to influence other people and help them understand God. The Wilcox clan, I'll just say it that way. Last night, we watched the Cowboys lose. What was it? No, we left during part of that game. We watched the other game. I don't know. Whatever. They were there for part of the game. And the way that Jeffrey and Andrea and Jeff and Lucy have always been so kind to Asher, giving him snacks, giving him, just showing him love, is one of those kinds of things that never goes unnoticed. I'm going to miss the Wilcox clan, and I wish them the best of luck in everything that they're doing. The Howers. One of the reasons that I really wanted to be here was because of the Howers. The kind of love and sacrifice that Penny shows for so many people. And the kind of attitude that she has in the midst of all the hardship she's been through is such a testimony to God's grace and God's power and what he does in people's lives. She's had so many sweet words to say to Samantha and I about raising children and so many encouraging things about how we're trying to raise our children. And I know we're not perfect with that, but she's been so kind to us. Clayton, I don't know how he remembers everything that he hears, but he does. And I love him. Connor and Colin, I know you pray so much for this church. You're so significant to this church. I believe some of the most important people in a church are the people that pray the most for the church. And I don't know anybody here that prays more for this church than Connor does. Pat and Dana Kuro have such a godly concern for the truth. In an age where people say anything goes and it doesn't matter what people believe, I appreciate so much their encouragement that they've given to me. They've given me so many words of kindness. We never got to have lunch. I'm still here for 2 weeks, by the way. but they've always been so kind to us, letting us come over for 4th of July parties and things like that. Tom Crew, he was converted, I don't know, maybe a year ago, but we've been able to go over to his house and have dinner a couple times. And the thoughtfulness and the kindness that he's, that whole family is so good with kids. And again, I appreciate so many of you because of the way that you've influenced our children and helped shape them and mold them. And Tom fits into that category. There's a lot of godly women here. Pat Young, Kay, Kathy Hill, Ann Strutz, Betty Dillinger. A lot of you came to the Thursday morning studies that we did at the building for a long time, and you guys are great Bible students. And those Thursday morning studies in particular were some of the ones that I looked forward to the most. And I'm so thankful for their encouragement and their willingness to do that. The Lorentz family. When you move across country and you don't know who you're going to hang out with and you don't know who your friends are going to be, the Lorentzes immediately embraced us, going on hikes, going to coffee shops, watching our kids when we needed them. I remember when Asher was first born, and it didn't hit me until Steve texted me, and I don't even know if he knows this, but it didn't hit me until Steve texted me the next day, "You're a father now." And then I thought, I'm a father now. It didn't hit me until I heard somebody else say it. But the kindness and the love that they've shown us and the help with the evangelistic support meant so much to us. The kindness that Olivia and Rochelle has shown to our children. I have to mention Daniel in particular, obviously. Traveling with me to Indio, Bakersfield, and Europe. Such a good friend. I'm so thankful that I know him. His heart is so pure. Somebody that helped with evangelistic studies we did on Wednesdays. Somebody who just wants to do the right thing and cares about the right things. Like Gabriel was such a good friend to me. Him and Gabriel were very good friends to me. The Wades. And I include you too, Wendy. Yeah, you. So encouraging. I love Mark's comments in Bible classes. I wish I could just listen to him teach Bible class every Sunday. When we were talking this morning in the sermon about God's love and our need to share it with each other, Mark likes to talk about the love of Jesus more than anybody I know. And he's one of the men who has inspired me to think about that more and has helped me to meditate on it more. And he probably doesn't realize that about him, but he's influenced me in that way. Matt and Lois Begovich. I don't know. How old are you, Matt? 88. He was just talking to me yesterday about when he gets his next license. He's going to have to get a test for it. I don't know a guy that old that has such a sharp mind. And Lois's hugs, so kind. I love your guys' pep and the love that you have for people in need and in hard situations. Debbie Groven. The first Sunday Samantha and I finally got to meet Debbie was the same Sunday that Samantha had her miscarriage. And that Sunday night, we went out to eat with her and got to start to know her. And I don't know a woman, I think I can say this with confidence, I don't know a woman other than my wife who's more inspiring than her. She's been through so much. She's suffered in so many unspeakable ways. And since she needs 3 more surgeries, she's had broken down cars. She's had everything that you can think of. And every time you talk to her, her attitude is so inspiring. And it just shows you what somebody who understands the grace and the love of God can, what they can do with God's help. I love Debbie. I'm going to miss her terribly. I get to do a gospel meeting in Las Vegas next year, though, so I get to see them. So that's cool. Maria, Jones, and Terry. I have to put them together because they're besties. Over the last year or so, I've been able to get have Bible studies with them at Starbucks. And the kind of friendship that they have, do you know how hard it is to have really close friends. It's really hard. But the kind of friendship that they have and the kind of love that they have for one another and the kind of laughter that we get to have at the Bible studies that we have, such an encouraging thing to see that. I know these people won't want me to talk about them, but I'm going to. Don and Pam. Yeah, that's right. We're fellow Eagles fans, so it's a rough day. But you guys have been so encouraging. Don setting up Bible studies with one of the guys that he went to the gym with, and the heartbreak of him falling away and all of the work that Don put into getting that ready and making that happen. One of the most evangelistic people in this church is Don. And I appreciate his desire to do that. Pam has always been so encouraging to me, so said such kind words to me. By the way, let me just make an overall blanket statement. There were several times when I was here when I thought about quitting preaching altogether. The number one reason, the number one person that talked me out of it every time was Samantha. But then there's people like Pam that would encourage me when she didn't even know I was in a special need of encouragement that day, and she would do it. A lot of you did that and helped me keep going. Virginia? Yeah, that's right. Before moving out here, Samantha and I were on vacation from Nashville. We were up in Minnesota, and we were driving Samantha's Camry back because we bought it in Minnesota on that trip. That's why it has the plug-in thing to heat the engine on it, because it's from Minnesota. But we were driving that back, and then Virginia called me. And I remembered who she was and everything, and she said, I heard you're moving out here, and I'm putting together all of these brochures and pamphlets for you to help you find an apartment. I'm going all over the place and finding apartments that you could maybe stay at. And by the way, I've got a brand new bed that I can't use because my apartment is too small for it, or whatever the reason was. And she gave that to us. Before we even came out here, one of the most welcoming people. And then since I've been here, she's always prepared for Bible classes. She always asks really good questions. She's really honest about the things that she doesn't understand. And she's not afraid to ask, which has helped everybody in this church, I'm sure. She does what she can with writing cards to people. She does simple things that are significant. And I hope all of us know that she does that work for the Lord, but that we can encourage her in that and be encouraged by her. The Stevens family. Whenever we moved again here, you're wondering who you're going to spend time with, who's going to be your family. And Christmases, we would go to their house and have a really nice dinner. Sydney, wow. There are times where I hear Asher talking, and I see Sydney's personality like superimposed into him now. With the way he looks at me sometimes when I'm like that's Sydney. But the help that they've given whenever I'm preaching, sitting with Asher, helping them, the Fishers do that as well. But Sydney's help, Xander's help, Aubrey, all of them have helped us so much and been family to us. Mike and Kathy Bunn. When I first moved here, I didn't get to meet Kathy right away. She was taking care of her mom. And so after a couple weeks of being here, we restarted the Thursday morning studies. And we started with the book of Judges, I think it was. And we'd go to her house and we would have that study with several of the women here. And she was always prepared. Good questions. Mike always makes insightful comments. Sometimes I wish he made more comments in Bible. I always wish that he did. Because he always has such insightful things to say from the scripture. And I will say, this is an interesting little trivia thing, but Kathy Bunn was the very first person to make Asher laugh. Did you know that? You were saying, bada bada boom boom. And he got a big, hearty, one of those gut chuckles or whatever you call them, out of it. Adrian Nolan. The amount that you helped with Asher, and the last year when Samantha would pick you up from school every day, I see that similarly to Sydney, where I see your personality coming out in Asher at times as well. But Asher still today will say, Adrian told me this, or this. I did this with Adrian, and this was a lot of fun. And every time he opens up, we go get the mail, and he opens up the mailbox, he goes, that says boar log. And we say, where did you learn that from? And he said, Adrian said that. And so I appreciate her and the love that she's had for them. Randy and Lisa Fisher hosted so many devotionals when I was teaching those on Sunday nights. They're always giving to people in need. There's times where Asher would need to be watched because Samantha and I would have some Bible study that we needed to be at or something like that. And at the drop of the hat, they could go ahead and do that. Randy has been one of those guys, I think, like Pam Leininger, who has always just instinctively known when I needed encouragement. And his kind words about the work that I've done here have meant a lot to me. Ida McFarland. Of all the houses that we visited here, we were in Ida's house more than anybody else. And she always has a Christmas tree up. Which was nice for Asher because we used to have a 2-inch Lego one, so he got to see one every now and then. Thank you for introducing us to Indian food. I don't know how much money you've spent on having us over, but Ida has been, because she loves to read, and because Samantha and I love to read, there's very few people I feel like I can say, check out this book, it's really good, and then they actually go and read it. And Ida and Samantha and I have been able to talk about so many encouraging things that we're learning about in the Bible, sharpening each other with our understanding of Scripture, being able to disagree at times about what we understand a Scripture to mean without getting offended, and we're just trying to figure it out together. Ida is one of the best Bible students I've ever known, and it's encouraged me to keep doing that as well. The Rasmussen family. Diane is constantly serving other people. She's just a servant. And Scott's not even here, is he? No, he's not. He's sick right now. But there's so many times where Scott and I would have breakfast, and we would discuss our lives, and we would discuss Scripture together. And oftentimes, getting breakfast with Scott were the highlights of my week. But since he hired a new manager guy, Scott hasn't been able to do that as much, because the guy's basically his boss. So I've missed that a little bit more. But there was one time in particular where we had a lot of people over on a Sunday for like a brunch. I don't know what it was. We provided the food. We had people over. And Samantha was getting all the food prepared and everything. And everybody had firsts. And then people who wanted seconds had seconds. And the whole time Samantha hadn't eaten anything. And that was intentional on her part. She was just trying to see who else needed to eat. And then after everything, all the food was gone. And Diane, I think, was the only person that noticed that. And then Diane said, do you want me to go to Cazador's and get you something to eat? And then she dropped it off. It was probably the kindest thing anybody did for Samantha the whole time we were here. I'm not saying people were unkind to her. But I'm saying the kind of thoughtfulness and the kind of care and love that Diane showed was something that was very significant to Samantha. The Rasmussens had us in their home all the time, oftentimes unannounced by us, where we would go on walks, and the loop that we would go on would go right past their house, and there were some times when we would be walking, and Asher would say, I want some watermelon. I wonder if Diane has some for me. Or I need to go to the bathroom. I wonder if I can go at Scott and Diane's house. And of course, my best memory at the Rasmussen domicile was last year when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And the thing that I think was especially touching to me about that is none of them cared about it. And the only reason that they were willing to have me over for that is because they loved me. And that meant a lot to me, even when I was screaming my head off. Gary and Pam Gibson. Gary was the first man in this congregation to know that we were moving. He was the first person to have to carry, however that affected him, and not tell anybody. But Gary's changed my life. The kind of patience that he has with people, and the kind of love that he has for people, has put me to shame in so many ways. He's always had the right words, the right combination of grace and truth, and the right balance of both of those things to be able to say the things that I needed to hear. I love Gary, I love Pam, I love Tamara and Chris and Aaron and the whole family. But there's a reason why Asher calls Gary Papa and Pam Nana. Because since we've been away from biological family, they've been the step-in grandparents. I don't even know what to say about that family. But they've meant so much to us. Look at Romans chapter 12. In the same book, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who exhorts in his teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. You see all of these different gifts that the church has. Do you realize that all of the ways that you guys have touched our lives have been people that care about doing what God has asked you to do? There's some of you that are great at exhorting and encouraging. There's some of you who lead really well. There's some of you who contribute and give. You guys have supported my family financially, and that's because you guys have been giving. We wouldn't have been able to live out here if it wasn't for your generosity. I want to give some final instructions or words of encouragement that I feel like are especially relevant to the church here. Look at Philippians 3. And the first thing that I would say, do I say we or do I say you? The church at Santee needs to press forward. Look at Philippians 3, starting in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. In the context of this passage, Paul has been talking about his past credentials, that he's the kind of guy that was a zealous Hebrew. He was a godly man in a lot of ways. And he says in this passage that I forget what lies behind me. And in the context, they are the things that he could boast about. They're not the bad things that have happened to him. He doesn't actually literally forget the past, but he doesn't value it to the point where it drags him down in the present. Think about how this would apply to this church. There are past days in this church's existence that were really good. The whole time I've been here has been really good. It's been great. And for whoever comes in after me, be really tactful in how you talk about the past. Don't let it discourage whoever comes in here. Whoever comes in here will be the person that God wants to have here. Lift that person up, encourage that person. And if there's anything that you miss about the past, no matter who the preacher was, Strain forward by being the change that you want to see. And don't complain. Just quietly be the change that you want to see and press forward. And let me just say, for my life, when we go to Atlanta, this decision was made with so much turmoil in my heart. But it's going to be hard for me to do that, to press forward. Because I love you guys. The second word of encouragement is in Hebrews 3. And it's to spend time with one another. Hebrews chapter 3, this is in the context of the writer talking about the wilderness generation and how they didn't get to enter God's wrath because of their unbelieving hearts. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, and if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. 101 times in the New Testament, you see the phrase, one another. And most of those, I believe, those uses are assuming that Christians are going to spend time with one another. That they're going to share their lives with one another. And I have to say that in this context, it's kind of strange that the writer would bring this up. Because the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness spent all of their time together. They spent every day with each other. But they discouraged each other. When you guys spend time with each other, just spending time with each other does not guarantee that you're going to encourage one another. What's at stake in verse 12 is the possibility of developing an evil, unbelieving heart. When you come together, when you watch football games, when you go out to eat together, when you get coffee together, when you're at the church building together, consider how to stir each other up to love and good works. Spend time with one another because you're family. The reason God gave you homes was to have people in them. And so many of you have done that for us. Go on hikes together. Have Bible studies together. Pray together. Study the Bible together. Proactively do these things for the health of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Plan things and include more people than just the people that are your favorites. Get to know other people that you haven't gotten to know very well. Final thing is Acts 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is speaking with the Ephesian elders, and he's warning them about the possibility and the reality that there's going to be fierce wolves that are going to come in among the church and not spare the flock. This is Paul's final speech to the church, or to these elders, I'm sorry. And the driving thing that he gets to is verse 32. And you can see that he begins in verse 32 with, "And now," this is what he wants them to know, "and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." What's the last thing that Paul says to these Ephesian elders? If he had a Bible, which he probably didn't, but if he did, I can imagine him holding it up and saying, "I commend you to the word of God's grace." This is the thing that lasts forever. People come and go. People die. But this is the thing that remains forever. So I commend you to this. Since I've been here, I've preached around 315 sermons. We've had about that many Bible classes at the church building. At least on Sundays and Wednesdays. We've had a lot of extracurricular studies at Starbucks and other places. And just counting the studies that we've had Sundays and Wednesdays here, We've gone through together Genesis, Exodus, Esther, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Mark, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, James, 1st Peter, Jude, and Revelation. My hope is that in the time that I've been here, I know you guys have not seen somebody who's perfect. But my hope is that you've seen somebody who's commended you to God's word. Because that's the authority. That's the thing that ultimately matters. My hope is that you'll continue to study. And that as you study, that you see the glory of God on the pages of Scripture. You study the Bible and you get a deeper understanding of Jesus' love for you and what he has done for us and how that needs to propel us to be the people that he wants us to be. Stick in Acts 20, though, and look what Paul does in verses 36 through 38. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. And they embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. There's some of you in this room that I might not ever see your face again in this life. My hope and prayer is that I get to be back here at least once a year when I go to the Bible conference. And that I'll be able to still preach for you guys and at least visit you guys. But when Paul was done with the elders here, when he finished his time with them, he prayed. I want to pray with all of you really briefly and then just have one more comment and then we're done for tonight. Let's all pray. Our Father, we praise you and we thank you that you've allowed us to have a family who loves one another and supports each other. And the reason that we have changed lives is because of your grace and your mercy and your love. May we look at the changed lives of one another and be able to understand that that's a testimony to your grace and what you can do in our life. And Father, I pray that you would bless this church, that you'd bless all the members and continue to bring non-Christians here, that they may understand who you are, that this church would embrace the people of this community as they do, that they would have them into their homes, that you'd support the elders, that you would encourage the elders, that if it be your will, you'd add more to the eldership, and that you'd help this church thrive and grow and be with this church as they seek to add another evangelist. We thank you, Lord, so much about the knowledge that you are the one that's in control of this world, and that you work all things for the good of those who love you. We may not always see how that happens now, but Father, help us to believe in that and trust in that. We thank you so much for Jesus and his sacrifice, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. No matter where I go, no matter where my family goes, whenever I am introducing myself to people I've never met, and they say, "So tell me about yourself." I'll be able to say that I grew up in Minnesota, I trained in Tennessee, and I worked with some wonderful Christians in Santee, California for 4 years. It's always going to be part of my past. And whenever I say that to people, memories of your love and your kindness will flash through my mind. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life. I love you. Pat's going to lead us in a final song. Thank you.